Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Alexa, play 95.7 ESPN.
Playing ESPN Rochester on radio.com.
So I'd like to say you do not want to wish your summer away. Take advantage of the time here in our town because I look at the schedule. I get excited when the Sabres schedule comes out. I get excited when the Amherst schedule comes out. This guy I don't see anymore, not until October. Brayden Wilson joining us here. We're also part of a great cause on Buffalo. We'll get to that as well. Brayden, I don't know how you're surviving, but Nick and I, we're getting the shakes right now as Twitter is down. Is it up in Buffalo, or is this just a Rochester thing right now?
No, I think it's a worldwide thing. I'm sure it's something is going wrong at Twitter IT that they're trying to address.
Oh gosh, well, we can't promote you properly, and Nick is he's loafing off over there.
It gives me an excuse to be lazy.
Brayden, yeah, appreciate your time today. You got the article up on our website, the Amherst schedule. Your initial thoughts on seeing the Amherst schedule and how this lays out.
Well, I mean, it's a very similar schedule to last year. Just the fact that maybe this year they're not going to play as many three-game sets. I think they only have two the entire year. But nonetheless, I mean, it all depending on how this Rochester roster shakes out. Hopefully it'll be a nice year for Rochester, and they'll be able to bounce back from last year's early disappointment.
Yeah, and we had this huge story happened, at least in our world, the Nylander trade. Time is up. I don't think it's a surprise that Nylander was dealt, but are you surprised, Brayden, with the player that the Sabres or the Amherst, however you want to say, the organization got in return?
Yeah, I think so. I was definitely not expecting a return like Henry Jokiharju, a young right-shot defenseman that's 20 years old and who has shown some good promise internationally with Team Finland and also some good promise in the Chicago organization just last year. I mean, the time for Nylander was coming short as it was anyway, and it was only a matter of time, I thought, this summer that they were going to trade Alex Nylander. And now I know some people want to cause up a stir because of, oh, well, Alex Nylander didn't participate in development camp, but I can understand why he didn't. He had already been part of the Sabres organization for three seasons. He had accrued that amount of time, which then would have made him have that choice to either participate or not. He chose not to participate. And, you know, I didn't have that much of a problem with the team's decision, with his decision, with him not to participate. And I know he's participating in Chicago's organization development camp, but that's more of, I'm sure, hey, I want to get acclimated to my organization just after getting traded there. So, but nonetheless, it was a disappointing tenure for Alex Nylander in Buffalo. Certainly, he probably should not have gone the route that Tim Murray thrown him in and kind of gotten thrown to the wolves immediately when he wasn't ready. But, can't turn back time at this point. And Sabres and Jason Bottrell decided to move on from Alex Nylander. And I think the return they got for him was more than I expected, and I think it was a very good return for the Sabres.
You know, it had. I don't think Nylander's absence in the postseason had anything to do. I when I look back, I think it's just kind of, just talk it up to dumb puck luck in a five-game series, and that's that. Sometimes that'll happen in hockey. But you mentioned the beginning, and I think we're all in agreement that a year in Sweden or somewhere else, maybe year two, we have Paul Hamilton on with us year two, and he said Nylander should be in Cincinnati, and we couldn't dispute that. But last year seemed to be a step in the right direction. Last year, he was making some plays for the Sabres. What happened at the end? Because when you look back to the cut and the lack of information about the injury, and I know the NHL acts like this, but they didn't really do Nylander. My gut tells me, Brayden, there was more to the story somewhere in there when it came to Nylander and the Sabres at the end of the season. To me, you could talk about the beginning, but to me, the ending was not a good ending for Alex Nylander with the Sabre organization.
No, I think you're right on there, Gene. I think that this year was definitely a step in the right direction for Nylander with the way that he started the season and the way that even before that when training camp and preseason was going, the way that he had gotten off was very good. And then as the season went on, he quieted down a little bit. And then right before he got called up, he had gone on that scoring streak in Rochester. And then, unfortunately, he never got back on the ice because of that cut leg that he had that obviously had some issues. So for Nylander, it's again, one of those things where his time here, he never really showed any consistency. I think there were plenty of questions about whether he felt entitled and whether he, you know, had the right mentality throughout his time here. And, you know, it's disappointing because the development that we hoped to see from Nylander never was there. Obviously, I think Paul's right where he definitely didn't belong in Rochester in his first or second year. But then again, you would have looked at if he had been developed the right way, he would have played in the Ontario Hockey League for two more years or maybe go back to Sweden and play and continue his development there. Hopefully he continued to grow his game. And again, the situation he was thrown in right off the bat, he was thrown in a situation where it was Dan Lambert, brand new head coach for the Amherst. The roster was a complete cluster, you know what, and it just did not look like a competent roster for him to be able to strive and succeed in. And it really showed because Rochester was absolutely terrible that year. And he did not have any growth in his game. Then he had the injuries the next year and went to the World Juniors, didn't play all that well because I think he was still somewhat not fully back from that injury suffered during the Prospects Challenge. And then he could just never regain his footing and regain his ground heading into year three. But again, just a year last year where it was an early start, early promise. And by the end of it, we still kind of felt like, man, you know, we didn't see enough from Alex Nylander to really be comfortable with him possibly being back for his fourth year in the organization.
One last question on Nylander before we get to, you know, the inevitable questions about the log jam and, you know, what might be the next one. But this idea that Alex Nylander can be the next, I think his name is Dylan Strom. I just kind of say, okay, good luck with that. I mean, but on the other hand, is the Chicago team a team, Brayton, that is just a few pieces away from getting back to the glory, or are they like the old rundown hotel that doesn't realize that they're old and rundown and nobody goes to anymore? In other words, they're just, you know, their time has passed them by.
Well, I think Chicago is trying to reload up front, especially. They've got some good young defensive prospects, and with Joakim Haru, from people that we've talked to, it seemed like that the team wasn't as happy with his development as maybe a couple of the other prospects that they had. So he was kind of more open to be moved, and especially for young talent like a guy like Nylander, who Chicago obviously saw that they could take him and maybe utilize him in a different way the Sabres did. So obviously I think that they need to get a little younger up front. They're starting to get a little younger on the blue line in Chicago, but they need some depth there as well. So, Chicago still certainly has those older pieces. They still are maybe living a little bit in the glory days, but I think they're starting to slowly but surely get younger. I don't know how good they're going to be this year. I still think that they're not a playoff team right now, even with the likes of Taves and Kane and Keith on their roster. But, if they continue this way that they're going with trying to build with a younger roster and trying to get young, high-skilled assets, this team might turn it around and they might be a playoff contender in the next couple of years.
Brayden, Joakim Haru, and I'm going to, you know, get as close as I can to that pronunciation. your best guess, I mean, a top four defenseman in Buffalo? I mean, he was playing with Duncan Keith at one point, or knowing how the Sabres like to bring guys slower, I mean, is Rochester out of the question for the start here? How do you think somebody who I think will be 20 at the start of the season? I mean, still a very young player. Where do you pencil in Joakim Haru?
I think there's a chance that he can make the Sabres roster. Now, that all depends on what other moves Jason Bottrell makes this offseason. Is Rasmus Ristolainen a more tradable asset right now because Joakim Haru is here? Is Zach Bogosian a more tradable asset because Yoki Haru is in the picture. If there's more moves made, especially on the blue line, then maybe we do get the chance to see Yoki Haru start on the roster, and could he be a top four defenseman? Maybe not right off the bat. Maybe he's more comfortable in that sixth role with maybe a guy like Jake McCabe, or I don't even know who else would be on the left side. But, you know, there's certainly options for the Buffalo Sabres with Yoki Haru, with what they're going to do with him to start the season. I think a start in Rochester is certainly not out of the question. And if he's here in Rochester, he's certainly a top four guy in the AHL. I mean, you have him on the right side playing alongside, I mean, you put John Gilmore there.
Yeah.
You can have maybe Jacob Bryson playing alongside him on one of the top four pairings. But, I mean, the top two right-handed defensemen in the in Rochester at this point right now certainly looks like Zach Redmond Zach Redmond, he's still on the AHL contract. And then there's Yoki Haru. And then you've also got Will Borgen, who's on the right side. Casey Fitzgerald's also there. He fits the mold, too. So definitely a lot of options for the Sabres and the Amherst, for that matter. But I could totally see Yoki Haru starting in the NHL as long as that spot is available for him. But as of right now, with the amount of defensemen the Sabres have up in Buffalo projected right now, Yoki Haru, at this point, until further notice, is going to be probably playing in Rochester.
Brayden Wilson, who is your host for Amherst Hockey here on ESPN Rochester, our guest. I would love to know, Brayden, who initiated that Blackhawks-Sabres trade. In other words, like if it went down like this, Jason Bottrell picks up the phone like, this guy, Yoki Haru, you know, is he available? What would it take? Well, you know, we really like Alex Nylander, and you know, I would love to know, because to me that would tell a story as far as who made the first move.
I mean, that's certainly a good question that I would like to find out too, and we can guesstimate all we want with how that exactly went down. But I mean, obviously, for a guy like Nylander, it's a guy who needs a fresh start, who wants to get off on the right foot with a new organization, maybe kind of get his game going once again and make his name known in the NHL, maybe in a different conference with a different team. And then a guy like Yoki Haru, who obviously was a first-round pick as well, who's had some very good success internationally. And I think Chicago was a team that, you know, was high on him, and things kind of played out this year where maybe they saw things go in a different direction, or they thought a different direction with him. But, I mean, the reaction, the general public reaction with the Yoki Haru for Nylander trade is that the Sabres got themselves a very good young defenseman who's potentially a top-four guy in the NHL. Maybe he can find himself playing alongside Rasmus Dahlin down the road. Who knows? Maybe he's a guy that is that perfect second-pairing defenseman or the perfect fifth defenseman in the NHL. But, I mean, it certainly seems like that a lot of people around the league and talking, you know, all around, that this trade is certainly favoring Buffalo more than Chicago.
Brayden Wilson, your host for Amherst Hockey here on the Sports Bar, 95.7 ESPN. Brayden, what about the Amherst here? The Amherst, not only the Sabres and everybody else, the Amherst, a lot of roster movement. Is this roster better on paper right now than what we ended up with at the end of last season?
I mean, I think that this roster, as we speak right now, should still have some potency heading into this upcoming season. I know that, you know, you're not going to have a veteran guy like Wayne Simpson back in the lineup. I know that he just recently signed in Germany. I'm trying to think of who else is left, but
O'Regan's gone. Yeah.
Yep. O'Regan left.
Criscolo.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Criscolo. But then you bring in guys like John Sebastian Dia. You got Curtis Lazar coming in. Lazar's a guy who, you know, former first round pick of the Senators, maybe trying to rejuvenate his career a little bit in the Sabres organization. John Gilmore comes in on the blue line after scoring 20 goals last season with the Rangers organization. Certainly, this Amherst roster has a little bit of turnover, but at the same point, you're bringing back guys like Malone on an AHL contract. You're bringing back guys like Taylor Lear on an AHL contract. So you're still retaining some of these young offensive skilled assets and having them specifically on their AHL deals. And you know, that's going to be good moving forward, that you're retaining some guys that had success last year or that you know in the organization, while also bringing in a couple of guys that have had success in the AHL in the past and that can bring a little bit more to this roster in Rochester. So, I mean, I certainly still expect Rochester to be a top guy, a top contender in the AHL or in the, at least the North Division this year. Are they going to be better than Syracuse? Are they going to win the division? I'm not sure. Syracuse still has what seems to me to be a pretty stacked team, but I think Rochester sits pretty good as we speak right now. And not only that, I forgot to mention Andrew Hammond coming in. I think that he's a veteran in net that's certainly going to help the growth of Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen once he returns from his offseason hip surgery. And once Luukkonen comes back in and ready to go, that's when we really start to get on that hype train for Luukkonen of, okay, let's get this kid in. Let's see what he can do in the net, and maybe he becomes the true future of the organization.
Well, and as far as the goaltending, I mean, I have an image of Hammond. It was, you know, run in Ottawa, and maybe that's clouding it here, but is that an upgrade over Wedgwood in your opinion?
I'm not sure how much of an upgrade he would be over Scott Wedgwood, just because I think that both Hammond and Wedgwood seem to me, at least looking stats-wise, seem to be pretty similar. I know that Scott Wedgwood last year had a very good year in Rochester. It didn't end, again, the whole Amherst season didn't end so well, but especially Scott Wedgwood, his end of the season was a little bit more difficult to kind of swallow than maybe a guy, maybe some of the other players on the roster. But certainly looking at the comparisons between the two, it seems familiar, similar to one another. But, I mean, this year's a little different, though, because you've got Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen officially in the mix. Andrew Hammond will come in and be a nice veteran, stable backbone for not only him but also the organization. You've still got Jonas Johansson that is coming up in the ranks, and he seems to be ready to go coming up this season. So I think in net, the Amherst will still be just fine. Again, it all just depends on how Hammond, comes in and he adjusts to Buffalo and the organization in Rochester. So, but hey, I think we're still fine. I think the Amherst are still fine in net one way or the other.
Brain, the big question physically, how are you doing today?
Well, Twitter's back up now.
So yeah, I see that. Yes.
That's a positive.
Yes, I see all of a sudden these new tweets coming in. All right. Tell us, because we're kind of on the outside when it comes to the Good Cause marketing event that you're a big part of, but I imagine an old man like you, though, skating for how many hours did you get on the ice there?
We skated for 3 hours yesterday. So each shift that we played at the 11-day power play was about like 45 minutes roughly, and then get two of them. The opening one's a little shorter because we have the opening ceremony for each game, introduction, ceremonial puck drop, and everything. But I mean, this year's event was a little different from last year. Last year was a 4-hour shift. That one was a little more tough to swallow. This year's was certainly easier on the old body here. So what a great event though. The 11-day power play raised over $1.5 million to this point. For cancer research, really, really good event. So, I mean, for people in Rochester, if you want to take in the event, if you're in Western New York and Buffalo at any point, head on down to Harbor Center. The event goes through this weekend until Monday. Monday morning is the last game, the closing ceremonies. And even next year, if there are any teams that are wanting to join in and be a part of the event, Mike and Amy Lesikowski have done a great job with this event for 3 straight years. And I think next year's event is going to be just as good. And hopefully we're going to break the 1.5 million and shoot close to 2 million next year. But again, just the WGR team, the West New York Media All-Stars, I think the two teams combined were able to raise over $35,000 for cancer research just alone as part of that 1.5 million. And a great cause. It goes to cancer research for Roswell Park, and it also goes to helping those with cancer and helping, organizations like Make-A-Wish and also Camp Good Days be able to, kind of help cancer patients cope with everything and be able to get through the tough time. So a great event. Those guys do a great job putting it on. And again, check it out. Feel free to go to 11daypowerplay.com. Donate to any of the pages. Donate to the 11-Day Power Play itself. And, again, check it out if you have time this weekend. Great event, and hopefully maybe next year if you want to take part in it, you'd be more than happy to.
Brayden, that is great. Great work by you. Great work by the GR team. And you even yourself scored a goal. And what would come to my mind, some cliche about a squirrel and a nut. Congratulations on finding the back of the net, Brayden Wilson.
Yeah, it was amazing to get the chance to score a goal in just any hockey game, because I'm not one to score goals. I mean, it's a rarity for me to even score a goal playing hockey at all. So finding the back of the net was really nice. And, the celebration, don't ask me about, because I don't know exactly what I was doing, and I didn't really have a plan. I just kind of tried something, and it went wrong. So whatever.
Oh, gosh. Brayden Wilson, your host for Amerx Hockey. The season opens up on October the 4th, but anything that breaks, I'm only a phone call away. Brayden, appreciate your time, and, again, great work with the 11-Day Power Play.
Gene, thanks again for having me on today.
Brayden Wilson, WGR. You can listen to him on Howard and Jeremy on the radio.com app. And, of course, you can catch him right here on ESPN Rochester once the Amherst season rolls around.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.